is Eugene Jams, and it's Dave P here with you today. And on the line, we have the renowned man himself, Bishop Charles Ejinosawi, who's here in London. And he hails all the way from Ghana, actually. And he has one of the, one of the biggest churches, because one of the presidents of Ghana, he stated that it's one of the seven wonders of Ghana. I've never been to Ghana, you know, Bishop.
we'll give you an open invitation.
Well, I must say, it is really great to have you here and to be in your company right here on the station as well. And let alone just hearing your wonderful voice, which God has given to you, really. And we thank God for your life. We really do.
Thank you. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to share with your listeners.
Yeah, you are here. Here for the Supernatural Empowerment Summit. It starts Thursday,
the fourth,
which is a Thursday, okay, yeah, to the sixth. And you're well known in Ghana, and you're well known here. And I'm sure a lot of ministers are going to be like, "Wow, here is a humble man who's coming from such great beginnings, humble beginnings." You know, some of it was not so nice. Some of it was. But here he is today, and God has really blessed this man. What are we looking forward to for this Supernatural Empowerment Summit?
For me, the Supernatural Empowerment Summit starts with my story. As a young man of 11 years old, I got into smoking. By 12, I was doing marijuana or dope. By 14, I was a practicing Nichiren Shoshu Buddhist. I was so bad. My dad even disowned me. And I was thrown out of secondary school when I was going to write my O-levels.
Yeah.
Because I had registered, the authorities allowed me to write. And then when I was 18, I went chasing this girl, and she said, "My boyfriend is Jesus Christ." I thought that was a joke, but, you know,
yeah,
because,
on.
I mean, having read a lot of these Eastern mystical books, I thought that, you know, Jesus is one of the masters that come and go, etc.
Yeah.
And so for me, it was a joke. And so that day, high on a dope, I went to the church, but they made an altar call and said, "If you want to give your life to Jesus, come out." I walked to the front. Mm. Now, the amazing thing is that drugs, alcohol, tobacco had caused my dad to disown me. Every 31st December, I made resolutions that I would stop. And by the 3rd of January, I had gotten back to it. Mm. And then here, I accept Jesus as my Lord and personal Savior. And from that day, the power of drugs, alcohol, tobacco, etc. was broken in my life. There was a complete transformation. Now, 2 weeks after that, I sent the call to preach, and I started working towards it. But 3 years on, I heard the audible voice of God say to me, "My boy Charles, I give unto you power over demons and principalities.
Amen.
Heal the sick, raise the dead, preach the kingdom." And since then, I've traveled around the world, preached the gospel in 91 countries, including Japan, Pakistan, Bahrain, United Arab Emirates. I've preached in Africa, America, Europe, South America, Australia. I've gone around the world.
Mm-hmm.
But then some years ago, I became burdened and went to God and said, "God, looking at the way the world is now, if we're going to go at this pace, we can't reach the world." And God put on my heart that, "Look, Charles, set up this Supernatural Empowerment Summit. I'll take off the anointing that is upon you. I'll bring it upon the people like I did in Numbers 11, verses 16 and 17. And so 6 years ago, we started the Supernatural Empowerment Summit. And I've seen God take the same anointing upon my life that saves souls, heals the sick, raises the dead, causes cripples to walk, casts out devils, that opens doors into nations that were closed. I've seen that same anointing come upon people who've been in some of these meetings.
But I got to say to you as well, because with that, with the Supernatural Empowerment Summit, okay, and looking at that and your testimony, which you're giving as well, what you've been through, you know, many people will say, because I've heard it before, "What experience do you have? You haven't felt what I've felt, but you saying that now, I mean, you must have been, I mean, going by what you're saying to me, you must have been pretty bad.
Mm. Yes, that is the more reason why, because if God could use me, then he can use anybody.
Mm.
And for me, that is the joy. If God could take me, who was in the gutter, and make me his ambassador, like the madman of Gadara. You know, that man had a destiny. Because the devil saw his star, that guy had originally been commissioned to preach to 10 cities, he attacked him.
Yeah.
And so when that man came into contact with Jesus and was delivered, he went to the 10 cities and he was the ambassador of Christ to those cities. And with that background, I'm able to say that, look, if God could use me, he can use you. And by the grace of God, I've been in ministry. I've been in effective ministry for 36 years. I've been in a miracle ministry, traveling around the world, seeing God do incredible things.
Yes.
I've seen people with depression get delivered. I've seen blind eyes open. I've seen cripples walking. I've seen heads take, people who were hurting inside, set free. And there are so many people committing suicide.
Yes.
In this generation, there are so many people who are desperate, so many people depressed, so many people hooked on drugs, and they are doing all they can, but they can't quit. This is an opportunity for people to experience that.
Well,
and more so for anybody who is a believer, who wants to be used of God. God wants to take this anointing upon my life and bring it upon them.
Well, it's not just when you say so many people, okay, and we know we look at that sort of mainstream as well, people who don't know God, but also you find within the church circles as well, you find that we have major issues. And you said something which really stuck out to me, depression, because we do have that in some of our churches.
Mm.
How do you tackle that? How does your church tackle that, or yourself, the members you have? How do they tackle someone who's going through depression or thinking about suicide?
You see, Jesus, when he began his ministry, said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor and to heal the brokenhearted." Most people who go into depression because they are brokenhearted over one thing or the other.
Yes.
And it takes the anointing to set them free. Thank God for counseling. Thank God for therapy. But therapy and counseling, because, I mean, some of the people have been through the best therapists, met the best counselors, yet their problems are still there.
Mm-hmm.
So with therapy and counseling, if you get the power of God, it uproots all that the devil has left as a mark in the lives of people. And that is what we do.
That's what I'd like to hear. You know, the thing is the reality of that. And, you know, we're human beings after all. We're bound to sort of like let go or fall in some way, but to be picked up and, you know, to start all over again, which is pretty amazing. And I think God requires that. And I can feel your heart on this, because I think if you didn't have that experience as a young man, I don't think it would be so effective. It's because you know.
I know what it is like.
Do you think in a way, like, if you look at Moses, what he went through, do you think God allowed you to go through, knowing that you would have to come to him, he allowed you to go through that so you could better other people, so you could talk about Christ to other people? Do you think he allowed you to go through that?
I don't like the word allowed.
Because we are
given choices.
Bear with me. I'm trying to find a better word here, Bishop.
Okay. And so I chose to go into those things.
Okay.
But as I went into those things, Scripture says that comfort ye the people with the comfort wherein you yourself have been comforted. And because I've been through it, I can tell somebody I know how it is like.
Mm.
And I can tell them that, look, if God has done it for me, he can do it for them.
Mm-hmm.
And as I watch people get delivered in my meetings across the nations, my joy is full. I see that, look, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yes. You're a great influencer, are you not? Because I guess you speak about things which I guess is happening right now in the world. You could say certain things and you could pick up on these. And you know what? How you're treating human society, how you're treating people or people who are poor or people who are well off, how you, you know, it should be on equal footing, really.
Yes.
And I noticed, I was reading something, how you speak to certain people, and even these government officials, that's not right. Do they take a stance on that? Do they listen?
Yes, they do. They do, because God has given us a voice across the nations. I've visited with presidents across different nations, and they listen, because not only what we say is not just to the spirit. You know, we minister the word, but we have a university too. We also feed the poor. We have social interventions. We have a television station that informs, inspires, and transforms the lives of people, called Precious Television. And so we are a holistic ministry.
Yes.
And as we go into the nations, the government, people in authority, they listen to us. And when we give counsel, they listen.
I hear you on that. I really applaud you. And I just love the way you are. I really do indeed. So 4th to the 6th, how long are you here for? Are you here for a week or are you just going to be here for a couple of days? I know.
For a week. It's the 4th to 6th. 4th is in the evening.
Yeah.
And then on the 5th, it's morning and evenings. The 6th, morning and evening. But in the mornings, it's for pastors and pastor spouses, elders, deacons, deaconesses, church workers, and people who want to be used of God, businessmen and women, politicians, lawyers, engineers, professionals.
Oh, wow. Yes.
You know, yes, yes. Because what God wants to do is to use ordinary people, like in the early church, how in Acts chapter 8, verse 4, the Bible says the people that left Jerusalem out of the persecution went everywhere preaching the word.
Yes.
God wants to use doctors, lawyers, engineers, teachers, caregivers, people, social workers, anointed with the Holy Ghost and power, setting the captives free. As they talk to people, the anointing works for them and touches them and delivers them. That is what God wants to do in the lives of people.
Bishop, when you're not busy, okay, what do you do? Do you work out? Do you go to the gym? I'm just asking. Because, you know, I like, when I interview artists or interview bishops or pastors, right, I always ask them this question. And they're kind of surprised by, Dave, how could you ask me that? I don't know. Do you, all right, so let me start again. So Bishop, when you're sort of relaxing, okay, do you work out at the gym? Do you go for a walk?
The first thing I do when I'm tired or I'm stressed is to go back home.
Okay.
And go to my wife.
Okay.
I've been married to my beautiful young lady for just 34 years.
Oh, wow.
And we have 3 biological kids and 1 adopted daughter.
Oh.
And so I go home and I have joy in going home. I have 2 grandchildren, too. And so that is the first thing I do. I also exercise quite a bit.
Okay.
I walk,
quite a bit.
I walk.
Okay.
I walk at least 3 kilometers every day.
Okay.
And so I walk to release tension. And then I read and I watch TV.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, that's fantastic. You know, I just wanted to ask that question because I think it was so important to know how normal you are, how humble you are, because you are coming from humble beginnings, which
Thank
I think
you.
Is really beautiful anyway. You know,
when I was younger, I swam a lot.
Okay.
But now I don't do much swimming.
Oh, my word. Oh.
Yes.
Oh, you actually do better than me, actually. So I don't do it. I'm 50. What am I? 56 now. So,
I'm 57 this year.
Oh, wow. So we're doing well. We're here. Yeah. We thank God for our lives. We're still here.
Yeah.
We really do. You know what? It's been such a pleasure. Let's talk about your church for about 2 minutes, because I understand it's such a big church, and it was it's a dome, isn't it?
Yeah, Perez Dome.
Yeah,
and 14,000 seater.
14,000 seater.
Yes. And that's where we have 2 services there. And then we have a French church in the premises that has about 500 people,
wow.
A youth church that has also about 500 people, a local dialect or vernacular church that has about 200 people. And then in the city of Accra, we have 76 churches. And we have churches around the nation. And we are in 22 countries now, Perez Chapel.
This is beautiful to hear. It really is nice to hear.
Thank you.
And what are the sort of like, is anything that really surprised you being where you are? If there's anything you could sort of like share, a memory of something which really caught you by surprise. Yeah, because you know how God is.
Yeah.
He just does see things really just, wow. Yeah.
In 2011, I was invited by Dr. Maurice Serulu to speak in this conference in the U.S. in Orlando, Florida. And just before I was introduced, there was this discussion that in the West, miracles don't happen anymore because they have so many doctors. So, you know, miracles happen in Africa and Asia. They don't have enough doctors. I walked up stage and 23 cripples walked and gave me their walking aid. And that was a surprise because they had been healed by the power of God.
And you're going to remember for the rest of your life because that is just a beautiful moment when God just really, oh man, that is really nice. You know, it's been really nice speaking to you. And for those of you listening to Eugene Jams, it's from the 4th to the 6th, all right? It starts a Thursday.
And in the evening, everybody is invited to the evening. People with problems, people that are hurting, people that are sick, people that want a touch from God. Yeah, they should come. People that have addictions and want to be set free, they should come. And God will meet them at their point of need.
Yes, indeed. So, of course, at the Lighthouse, 262 to 274 Campbell Road, SE5. You know, I hope to meet you one day. I really do. And maybe one day, because I might be coming over to Ghana one day.
Yes, with
of course, Diana Hamilton, who's a singer. Who's a gospel
singer.
Yes,
wow.
That's one of
our greatest singers.
Well, no, she's I'm such a big fan of her.
Yeah,
and you know, we know each other very well. And I said, Diana, when you go over to Ghana, I want to go with you. She said, Dave, no problem. You could come with us anytime.
Yes.
You're
a
family. So I said, okay, no problem. I can go.
Diana is awesome.
So if I come over, I'm going to see you as well. Listen, thank you so much for speaking to us at Eugene Jams, and may God continue to bless you and your household.
Thank you.
It's so amazing hearing you today. It really is.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay,
bye-bye.